To advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
Born in Sweden, with stops along the way in Portugal, Italy, famously England, China, and back to Sweden for his eventual resting place. Condolences, memories, and rest in peace, Sven-Goran Eriksson, a man who managed Beckham, Gerrard, Lampard, Scholes all at once. May he rest in peace, Sven-Goran Eriksson. This is Onside ZA, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Remember, if you are joining as a new user on the Betway app, use the affiliate code OnsideZA. It really helps us out a lot. Welcome to all of you ballers, and a big welcome to the hosts joining me in the studio today, Mr. Len Moleko.
Yebo!
Tippy Worldwide.
Okay, Bluefield. Hi, darling.
Thank you, darling. We're going to get to where you watch the football from this weekend. Mm-hmm. And everybody's favorite super sub. Welcome.
Danko.
Did Tippy have a blue pill?
No, whatever. Shush. But I went to a very exciting place. You know, you guys are gentlemen, right? And you guys have gone to gentlemen clubs.
No.
Yeah?
No.
No.
Now speak for yourself, Len.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking for myself.
Yo,
she was talking to all of us.
I feel like I go there often enough that I'm desensitized now.
Oh, okay. No, it makes
crazy,
sense.
Crazy, right? Anyway, I just wanted to mention this to you, Marco. You were speaking about Eriksson, RIP to him. Do you know that back in 2006, he was also running for the Bafana coaching job?
In 2006?
Yep.
After South Africa had won the bid for the next FIFA World Cup.
Wasn't the England coach at the Germany World Cup then?
He was. Mm-hmm. I think, wasn't that his last season as Germany? He left after that World Cup?
I think, because from what I know, he's the only non-English manager to manage.
He was the first one, to be precise. The first non-English also, yes.
To
manage the England national team.
Yes, that was, and then he led them to the...
There was the Italian manager.
Which one?
What was his name?
Okay, well, he was
Fabio
first.
Capello. Capello.
He was the first. Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. And he led England to the quarterfinals in 2002 and 2006 World Cups, as well as the 2004 UEFA European Championships. Mm.
So that's why he was pipped for, because I think the 2006 World Cup was when he left the England job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why he was tipped for the Bafana job ahead of the 2010 World Cup. And we know where that went.
We ended up with Joel Santana. You know, he ended up as a rapper at some point.
Joel Santana?
Yes.
Ah, you lie, bro.
I kid you not.
What?
He was a rapper in some.
But
ad.
He was a default manager because
Carlos Pereira
left.
Yes,
and then
came back.
And then he took us to Conferred, Santana, and then we complained, and then Pereira came back for the World Cup.
But I can also remember we had, there was, kind of what's a guy who was fixing games? What's his name, man?
I remember him.
Flip. I forget his name. But most of our games pre-World Cup were like, they were on the take. They were brown envelopes.
Because of Sepp Blatter.
No. Not Sepp Blatter. Some other character.
Sepp Blatter was good at the brown envelopes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, of course.
Coming back to Sven-Goran, he had a stint with Ivory Coast as well, ne?
Yes, in 2010.
But I don't think he was not here in the World Cup. But Len, was he?
He was coach of Cote d'Ivoire in 2010 World Cup.
But I don't think
Wilson Parumal.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. But I don't think he came with...
Despite defeating Korea in the final group game, 3-0, Ivory Coast failed to qualify for the knockout stages of the 2010 World Cup finals.
Mm. But a journeyman, nonetheless, Sven...
Because he likes South Africa. He loves South Africa. He'd come here during our matches.
But I
he'd
think
hang
he will more
coaches.
notably will be remembered for Benfica and Lazio stint, you know, and obviously the English job.
The English job, yes, because a lot of controversy with it. Because as English manager, firstly, that job is like a hot seat.
He's the one who benched Beckham, isn't it?
They had a great relationship. Yeah, they were, but like, Fabio Capello is the one who first benched Beckham.
Was it Fabio Capello?
Yeah,
it was.
Oh, yeah, okay. 2002, I think. Or before that.
When was it? After that.
After that. Yes. Capello was afterwards.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. 2012. 10.
10. Capello was England coach.
Sorry.
2010.
That's right.
Yeah, I just remember him with these glasses.
Capello was England coach in 2010.
Yes.
That's right. Anyway, Sven-Goran Eriksson, legend of the game, UEFA Cup with IFK Gothenburg in the 1982 finals.
Mm-hmm. And I think I was watching that game.
He took Benfica all the way to the finals of that same competition. I wouldn't be surprised. Roma,
but he wasn't a great player, was he? He's like a Mourinho.
Who were you working as a scout for in 82 that you were watching the game?
For Malmo. For Malmo. I used to work for Malmo.
He also got European honours at Lazio, of course, and fondly remembered at Benfica for those three league titles in two stints.
Yeah.
At Benfica.
Mm-hmm.
So, legend of the game, particularly in his managerial career, playing career. He was a player at Benfica. 144 games for Benfica in his second stint there.
Sure.
So,
genuine, serious. Of note, yeah.
Yeah, he traveled, eh?
Yeah.
Very much so.
So, anyway, this is the story of Sven-Goran Eriksson.
Yeah, no,
what
man,
a legend of the
peace,
game.
Man.
And
76 in today's term is fairly young, you know.
I agree.
That's the life expectancy for a typical South African.
An average African country. No, South African.
South African.
South African.
Yeah.
But,
we retire at 64 and we die at 70-something.
No,
we
retire at 65.
64.
Five.
For women is 65. No, for men is 64 and
five.
For... Okay, sharp.
65.
I mean, it's only a year, Marco.
Guys, the way that I'm saving, I'm retiring.
You're talking about someone who was already retired. How do you argue with him?
Like,
you are talking to a Sasa candidate here.
Oh, he knows this stuff.
He knows.
Ask his friend.
I don't save enough to retire, so I'll be retiring at 85. I am AB, is here to protect Chelsea Foot Club against Haram Len Moleko and to laugh at me for having faith in Ten Hag and United. I'm here to take the punishment.
Are we going to get into it?
Let's get into it. Where shall we start?
The pillow game.
Yeah.
Let's start domestically.
I want to go in hard, eh?
Let's start locally. We've got a very special game lined up for tomorrow night.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was postponed.
We have MTN.
Yeah. MTN 8.
Pirates were supposed to play Cape Town City tonight, but Cape Town being Cape Town, Cape Town and...
Torrential rains.
Yeah. And wind speeds of about 60 kilometers an hour. So football...
60? I saw 40.
I heard 60 in the news.
Okay.
Oh, you saw 40. You were in Cape Town earlier today.
On the tomato, news. Tomato, oh, guys. Okay.
Just checking.
Honestly.
No, 20 kilometers an hour is a huge difference.
65, guys. 65, I mean, it could have increased, guys.
Jeez, why is there so much tension? Guys,
like, what's going on?
What's going on?
You brought the tension because you said you're feeling nasty today. So you brought the tension.
You're okay. Feeling blue.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with you, Super Sub Pirates. Pirates in Cape Town tomorrow night because they couldn't play tonight.
Mm. Yeah, I always hate this postponement in game because, you know, as a player, you prepped yourself to kick off today. You know?
Especially as a traveling player.
As a traveling player. You know, if you're playing at home, it's easier. But as a traveling player, your mind is set up for this game today and now it's postponed. You have to readjust. And then, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like taking the blue pill, but no action. And then you have to retake the blue pill again.
Or you take the blue pill and then the tent gets up before you get to your destination.
Okay, Morpheus, enough of that.
But to be honest with you, you know what, Nah? I think Cape Town City was probably going to be, or probably still is in a better position going into this match. Because, I mean, the only thing they've had to focus on was just this match. Whereas London Pirates had to focus on the match against, who do they play? The 4-0?
Disciples.
The Disciples. Mm. You know, so there was obviously some type of strain on their bodies. I'm hoping, though, that they come out victorious. But, yeah, I feel like Cape Town City just might be successful.
Are you like a defecto Pirates fan?
Hey?
Are you a defecto Pirates fan?
What does that mean?
When you say you're hoping they come out victorious.
Tseppi's wears a Pirate shirt in here regularly.
Tseppi's a Chiefs fan.
When? I'm too pretty. Yeah. It's a joke.
Ballers, get in the comments. Yeah. Come.
No, we're joking, y'all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tepi wears a Pirates shirt often enough to know her allegiance there.
It's only me and you who are non Pirates supporters.
Yeah. Okay. But you support everybody but Pirates. Just to get at super sub.
No, but he was friends with Mpanza, the late Sifasonke Mpanza. So I don't understand why he doesn't. He support Pirates.
We rode the horse together.
That's what I mean.
Mara super sub, may I ask, you know, and I think this is also quite upsetting. Orlando Pirates went and played away, and it was a draw. They play here at home. It's a 4-0 win.
Which should have been 8.
Clearly, do you understand?
Yeah.
I feel like Orlando Pirates is just going back to themselves being all slovenly and just so nonchalant sometimes, going into something and not really applying themselves. There was no reason for them to have not come back here with some points and only have to be under this pressure of playing at home, and only then can they start to perform. Like, are we starting to see once again the old ways just somehow just sneaking in? It's kind of annoying.
I hope not, but you must remember, playing away is always difficult. You know, the conditions are not so friendly. You know, and
it's always great. But to have how a long? Point.
But what I'm saying is, if
no, you a go- goal in this regard, because it's not a point system. It's win-win. Yeah, aggregate points. Yes, yeah. It's an aggregate thing.
So, you know, one thing that you have to try and do, I understand you have to win your away games, especially if you're going to go away and lift the cup. But I understand your concern. It was my worry as well. And seeing that now we're going to play Xuaneng, because the same thing happened with Xuaneng, you know, and then we went away and then we couldn't win. So I'm hoping that we need to change that. And when we are away, we have to at least score a goal. That's going to speak for you if something goes wrong at home, because other teams can just come here and pack the bus.
Of course, because it's nice here, it spits. You know? But the reality also is this. We have to anticipate that you are going to be playing continental football, and we know what it's like out there. And it cannot always be an excuse.
Sundowns knows.
Exactly, Ibon. That's what I'm trying to get back at that. I'm driving back to that point to say, if Mamelodi Sundowns is able to travel and play continentally as well and still make sure that they come home or score a goal at least, or just make sure that they really come to the party, we can't then keep on using that excuse of Orlando Pirates that, oh no, they were traveling and we know what the conditions are, therefore they're not performing.
To be fair, with Pirates, right? Let's consider that I think about 2 years ago, they went all the way to the final of the Confed Cup. They lost, I think, to... just forgot the team's name.
I can check.
The following season, that's when they got knocked out by Xuaneng, I think. And then this season, they managed to get over Disciples. Mm. They've got Xuaneng. Of which, if we look at it, Sundowns could get knocked out by Mbabane Swallows. You don't know, because the hierarchy at Sundowns has changed. It's not the Sundowns of Rulani Mokoena. Yes, the bulk of the players are still there, but the coaching staff is different. So they can go to Swaziland and then things can go Swazi for them.
They
were runners up in the 2021-22 CAF.
Sorry?
They're probably going to play that match in South Africa, I think.
Well, two home games for Sundowns, so it's fine. Kind of vibes. But I think with Pirates and the statement win, I think it was a statement win. Against Disciples, but again, it's Disciples, and going away playing a competitive match continentally,
yeah,
at that point, because the league has not started, the legs have not necessarily started running at the pace that they probably want them to run. They had only played one MTN 8 match
prior
to that against SuperSport United. So it was just a case of them
don't lose the game.
At the first leg, don't lose it. Or even if you lose it, it must not be by a big margin, because we know we can take them to Orlando and then we can wipe the floors with them, kind of vibes.
Okay, sharp. So that means that now we're expecting them, when they go up against Xuaneng and they play there in Botswana, correct? Then we're expecting some performance from them, a real performance.
That's going to be one of the real tests.
Yes.
That they're actually going to face.
Yeah.
Before the season even starts. So to a degree, I'm actually a little bit worried about Orlando Pirates.
I think the second preliminary rounds are going to be played when the league have already started as well. So I think the 20, somewhere on the 20
I had
something.
The fixtures somewhere, but yeah. Like, yeah,
20 September and 13 September.
No, after
according
that.
To this list.
Is it?
Yeah. So the first fixture is in Botswana on the 13th of September.
Okay.
And then the return fixture is the 20th of September, which is in Orlando.
Which okay, is, then the league would have started already.
So
they
which means, by the looks
would have
of
been
it,
a week, yeah.
I think Pirates and Sundowns are likely to play midweek after that weekend.
Yeah, that's more likely to be.
Because the weekend of the 14th, 13th, that's when the league starts.
Betway kicks off, yeah. But if Pirates is playing on the weekend, they can kick off the game at the Betway Premiership
midweek.
Yeah.
Before they play the return leg. Before so they play on a Wednesday, yes.
Yeah. And so they will sandwich the one CAF game.
Between two league fixtures. No, they will sandwich the league fixture between the two CAF games.
Yes, that's what I wanted to say.
And the beauty about it is, sorry Marco, the beauty about it is both Sundowns and Pirates are not necessarily playing in freaking Egypt or Algeria.
Yeah, they're not far.
They just like stone throw away, Botswana and Swaziland.
Might as well be Cape Town. Okay. So back to MTN 8, because we've got lots of time to talk about those fixtures, like I said, coming up in September. Tomorrow night, it's in Cape Town. Cape Town City's previous fixture so far this season is against Skukune United.
Mm-hmm.
Very even game. Not much in it except for the solitary goal. Not much to show for Cape Town City, but they got over the line, and their reward for that is a game against, or two games in the MTN 8 semifinal against Orlando Pirates. Whereas, although Orlando was jumping that night, you were their super sub.
Yep.
Pirates were more convincing in their victory against SuperSport United. So surely
not convincing per se. They
I found them quite convincing. They, quite a bit more convincing.
They got away with it in extra time. In the 90 minutes, SuperSport literally like they held their number. They
you
brought
say
the game
that. I think that Pirates were wasteful with their opportunities. I think that they were deserving of going through and progressing. I think that yes, they were vulnerable, but we mentioned this at the time is the rustiness. But I think overall, the team that creates more opportunities generally deserves to win.
And SuperSport could have won that game had it not been for tomfoolery.
Okay.
I mean, the officiating was not up to standard.
I understand. But I just felt like the number of chances created by Pirates, yes, they were wasteful.
They were more enterprising.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you, Marco.
I think that normally when a team creates a lot more opportunities, they did more deserving of progressing. Course, football doesn't always work that way, but I found that Pirates were more convincing in that fixture, even though SuperSport United were also very good than Cape Town City. So surely going into these fixtures, Pirates will be favourites.
Yeah, but and they are also defending. There's
they're
also
the defending
aspect.
Champions of the trophy, right? Yeah.
It's like Orlando, you know, this MTN trophy is like Orlando Pirates breakfast, you know. They need to kick off.
Of course you'd say that.
Come on, man.
It's just two seasons that you want it back to back.
It's their breakfast
just the
for the past 2 years.
Just the only team to ever do it.
It's okay. What I'm saying is I'm not convinced that Orlando Pirates is actually going to go to the final of the MTN 8.
Why?
You think that Cape Town's
Cape Town City might. Over two legs are actually going to do a number on them.
Why do you say that?
Because I say that.
I mean, substantiate.
Yeah, you can't just throw stuff.
Back it up with some evidence. Say something. Tell me what your thoughts are. Why would you say that Cape Town City is going to come out victorious in both legs of the matches?
And what makes you think they will come out
Yo,
of Pirates Orlando?
Fans coming at me. Guys, calm down.
No, we're asking questions that need answers.
I just think Cape Town City is more focused on this game. Eric Tinkler wants to do well. Not that Jose Rivera doesn't want to do well. The point that Tepi mentioned earlier on about the rest that Cape Town City have had, they've had enough time to actually study Pirates, with Pirates having played two games, seeing that, okay, cool, what do we close? Who do we need to shut down? Maswangai, he's the key player. How am I going to deal with him? Mofokeng, Saleng, who runs like there's no tomorrow. All those other elements. Mabasa, as good as he is, still can't make the national team. But like those elements, Eric Tinkler has had enough time to actually do his homework on Pirates.
That's fair.
It's a case of beat them at home, go defend in Orlando, or contain them at home and kind of, what do you call it when you break somebody's window and you steal things out of their car?
Smash and grab.
There we go. Yes.
Okay. So.
By the way, Monyane is back and Miguel Tim is back from injury.
Okay.
And there's a new signing that Gilberto guy is available now. Oof.
So much he needs to study that man. Huh? There's so much that Tinkler has to study.
Yeah.
He's had enough time.
Yeah.
So. Our good friends over at Betway disagree with Len Moleko and they're giving you an odds boost on Orlando Pirates to win tomorrow's game in Cape Town at 2.18 to win, 3.0 for a draw, and Cape Town City's unlikely win at 3.36. Remember to pick your promo with Betway. More choice, more play, more prizes. You can opt in to the Pick Your Promo hitting the banner within the Betway app. So head on through there right now. If you are a new user, once again, use the promo code ONSIDEZA. It really helps us a lot.
I got nibbled this weekend, eh? Yo.
I don't even want to talk about it,
but we'll talk about it.
I had one fixture that did me, but we will get to that. So, speaking of the odds for that MTN 8 fixture between Orlando Pirates and Cape Town City, another fixture kicking off an hour later, Mamelodi Sundowns against Stellenbosch. We know the odds are going to be a lot bigger on this one. Sundowns, big favorites, 1.49 for the home win, a draw at 3.68, and Stellies win at 6.76. Len Moleko, you liking those odds to make your money back?
I would go with a draw for Sundowns. And Stellies, I think
3.68, it's good odds.
Despite having lost like key players, Bo Van Rooyen, what's his name?
Reynas.
Yes. Why is the name escaping me? Yes, Ikram Reynas, yes. And there's the other one who is touted to be going to Chiefs.
The one that Chiefs approached their parents.
No. That's from Cape Town Spurs.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Confusing players. There's a player from Stellies that Chiefs are looking at signing. There's another one that Stellies has sold to, I think, a Danish or a Belgian club.
Oh, yeah, I spoke about him last week, that one.
Yeah.
So, despite that, I still think Stellies still have it. Stellies work on momentum. We saw what they did against... Zingizi, that team from Swaziland. I just forgot the name.
Yeah.
Ntsingizini.
There we go. Yes. Momentum is there. They scored goals despite losing the key players. They're still able to get results on the continent at the first time of asking. I think they won with an aggregate score of 8-0, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Right? So I think Stellies will give Sundowns a run for their money. Sundowns have not really been tested. Their game in the MTN 8 against Polokwane, we take that with a pinch of salt.
But if you go with your narrative tonight, which means Mangoba and Steve Compeller would have done enough homework
but they still knew at the
from Stellies.
Well, they still knew, and I say knew in inverted commas.
Yeah, I'm saying they would have done enough homework for Stellies. Should be an easy assignment for them.
But they still
knew. If we go with your narrative.
No, they still knew. Tinkler has been there.
Can I just also mention, Stellies, as much
is not
as
new. He's been there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So
Steve is a retainee.
So if
a return soldier, say it.
There's a difference between making tea and being the CEO.
I can tell you now that Mangoro was not making tea.
Okay, but Stellies still has to yawn. They still have a police. So as much as they have lost some key...
Apollis plays for
Polokwane.
Polokwane City.
Okay, what...
Apollis scored a late goal for Stellies.
Apollis is at Stellies?
Yep, according to my match report, yep.
Wait.
When did they sign him?
When did they sign Apollis?
Oswin Apollis. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Super sub.
I'm embarrassed. If he has signed for Stellies, yeah, and I don't know about
goal.
It.
He scored the leg goal in that match against
Ntsingizini
Hotspurs, yes.
No, Apollis plays for Polokwane City, guys.
So my match report is incorrect?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, he has Stellies, which fixture in... So he has the goal scorers in the 8-0 aggregate win.
Yeah.
Mervin Bolgi, Omega Mdaka, Andre de Jong, Langile Fille, and Mojela. Those are the five goal scorers.
Langelihle Fili. Right? Yeah. Langelihle Fili. Correct?
What? In the 5-0 win?
Yes.
Yes.
Andre de Jong?
Yes.
It says here Oswin Apollos.
No.
Apollos plays for Polokwane City.
I know, but my match player. Report.
Yes. And I know Chiefs have actually been eyeing him as well.
So here's Mojela, Mpili, De Jong, Ndaka, yes. and Boji. Those are the goal scorers for Stellenbosch in the 5-0
win. No, then there's something wrong here because my match report was actually incorrect with this Apollos guy.
No problem.
And that's why I was like, Apollos is a star player.
Looking at team news ahead of Sundowns against Stellenbosch. Big team news available here. Let me bring it up.
Team news, let's hear. And silence reigns.
Apologies, it's gone. Yeah.
And then you can dream.
So the big team news here it is. Sundowns are dealing with a goalkeeping crisis. Dennis Onyango is suspended. And Ronwin Williams is sidelined, recovering from his shoulder injury. So that means Jody February will be in goal for Sundowns tomorrow night.
Where's the other boy who was from Chiefs?
I don't even know the February guy.
Jody February.
I don't
who was
know him.
The other boy who was a Chiefs man. Peter, sir.
The goalkeeper?
Yes.
It's Peter, sir, yeah.
Well, surely they should have him.
Where is he? Is the question.
No, he's still there. A Sundowns player.
He's a Sundowns player.
Sundowns has got Chelsea tendencies.
Because they've sent the other one back to Supersport, right? Didn't they?
Kind of what's his name? Yes.
Yeah, it was a Sundance player, and then I think they loaned him out.
Yeah, they loaned him out to Supersport United. Not February. I mean, sorry, not Peter, sir.
Not Peter, sir. Yes. Not Peter, sir.
Okay.
He started for Supersport against Pirates, that guy.
Okay, so elsewhere in South African football, Tumelang Kune changing roles from wearing boots and gloves to a suit and a pen and a sales meeting. Are we surprised?
What is he? They're saying he's an ambassador or he's joining the marketing team?
The marketing team. That's what I read.
So my issue with that is that this is surfacing again, where Chief says something and then Kune comes and says something different.
What did he say?
The previous time he said he still wants to play football and everybody knows that.
I don't think Itumeleng Kune should be retiring his boots yet.
And now he hasn't said anything.
He's not allowed to.
I don't think he should be retiring. I think he needs to rethink.
Like, I feel like they are taking Itumeleng Kune. Let's be honest, guys. Though we are talking from outside in, I think Chiefs marketing department, it's one hell of an institution. You know, like, I think it's a well-run machine.
It's beastly.
Yes. Like, I don't see Itumeleng Kune adding more value there. I just feel like he's a player that, I mean, after 25 years of playing,
it's poster boy.
He can give so much to maybe to the development side, to up and coming goalkeepers.
Goalkeeper coach.
Okay.
I'm just saying that I feel like he will be underutilized in the marketing department.
Yeah.
I feel like Kune is one of the best goalkeepers South Africa has ever had. I don't think we benefit out of him in the boardroom. I think we'll benefit out of him in the field, imparting those skills to the younger generation of goalkeepers.
As a goalkeeper
in my
coach.
Opinion, yeah.
Has it ever occurred to you that maybe they don't want him to take on that position? Because it could have happened by now. I don't see why they would want to announce him as a marketing person. It's either they are not creative enough or are struggling to find him a place. But it's just disingenuous for me.
I think it's
I don't think he wants to be a marketing
First
guy.
Of all, Levido Loca. In the comments here saying Kune must be promoted to goalkeeper coach. He's like, mirroring your thoughts, super sub. I get it. I think that there's only one explanation for it. Kune is a huge brand. Individually, Itumeleng Kune is a huge brand.
He's a massive brand.
He's a massive brand. So they would like to utilize that brand power in the marketing division.
They can still do that while he's still coaching.
How much more value can he add?
Wait.
Listen, if he goes personally in his suit to Toyota rather than in his tracksuit and gloves, it means more money for the club.
No,
they're impressed.
He will be seeking a fortune. May I ask a facetious question?
Sure.
Ne? And I'm not being nasty, guys. Ne?
That disclaimer, it means you're being nasty.
No.
This is a Len Moleko rant brought to you by Betway. Get way, way more.
Does Itumeleng Nkune even know what a SWOT analysis is? I'm just asking.
So I think there could be several things, and that's what I was getting at. Number one, his disciplinary issues last season could be deterring the club from making him a coach right away.
That's
why are you going to let him lead players if he had disciplinary issues?
So he can
issues?
Drink in peace now, ne?
Yeah.
Okay, but
it's normal for the marketing department. Go to the clients, have a few drinks with them. Sell some.
Maybe that's why he ran for the job,
right?
No, Marco, you did not just say that.
What? You can sponsor him.
Meet the client.
Did you just say he's gonna? Yeah, okay.
You is that not normal sales meetings? Is that not normal for the marketing
so
department to
go
and have a few
drinks
with the clients,
yeah,
with
Friday
the potential
night.
Client?
Yeah.
Get sponsorship.
Yeah.
It's normal.
Nobody will watch
this. This is standard.
Yeah. No, Marco,
he
I'm
can
not
go
doing
back to
this
the office saying, no,
this is standard. I'm not talking about anything other than standard practice.
Marco.
You go on a business meeting with your client, sales meeting. It's normal to have a few drinks. I'm not saying go overboard, but you have a few drinks with the client,
you know,
etc. So there's nothing wrong with that. The other thing is he might be given an opportunity to get his coaching licenses in place. We don't know what the status is of his coaching licenses. We don't know what the requirements are as a goalkeeping coach. Mm. He might be during this marketing period getting his licenses, come back in as a technical.
Okay, can I put a span in the works? And I think sometimes, you know, the one mistake he's either made himself or we also have made as spectators or supporters. Like, why is Itumeleng Nkune's personality, is as though Kaizer Chiefs is an extension of his personality? Like, why is he not able to leave the team and find opportunities elsewhere? Is he chained to Naturina? I feel as though he should not be retiring. I still think he probably has a season in him.
Guys, where's
and
the money
he could
for
be
Kune?
Just going.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, but you get to a point
Kune
where you
Chiefs
become realistic.
Is
right?
Financially a good idea?
I mean, I get it. But even so, I mean, I feel as though even if they don't have the money for him to play for them, but I'm sure there are opportunities in other teams where he can become a goalkeeper coach. I don't see this guy wanting to leave football as yet and also to be a marketing person at that.
Maybe age is catching
I just
up
don't
with
see
him.
It. I mean, we've had older into keepers. I mean,
Arensa,
I think, was like 40 when he eventually retired. Isn't he like 35, Nkune?
Listen,
that's what he says.
And we saw and we saw Nkune win the man of the match in the final of the Carling Black Label.
Yeah. I mean, he's got legs still. He still can.
Top goalkeeper. We wish him all the best in his new position. And we hope it's a great partnership for him and Chiefs. And of course, for many of us who have a softer spot for Chiefs and aren't enjoying seeing the downfall of Chiefs, we wish them the best and him.
And him
we wish him and the club and the clients and Toyota and everyone there the very best for the season to come.
Oh, statement of the week, Marco. Wow.
Even though we're waiting for the Betway Premiership to officially kick off, and there's lots of exciting news, etc., coming with all of that, we have seen the Motsepe Foundation Championship get underway. Len Moleko.
Yeah. Tough league that.
It's tough there.
It's not even tough. It's brutal. I'm expecting Amatax to almost replicate what they did. Mm. They were unfortunate not to make it into the league.
Those playoffs were brutal on them.
Yeah, I think Cape Town Spurs might also punch.
What about Baroka?
Baroka as well. They've done
They're
some good
there.
Business. You know, I saw they've acquired former Kaizer Chiefs and Orlando Pirates striker. Spelele Mthembu Shaka Zulu is there. So he's a seasoned striker.
The farmer?
I don't know if he's a
farmer.
Yeah. But it's funny, he plays in a farmer's league. Move on.
Ooh.
Marco, respect Yo. NFT, Chief.
Jeez, how many pills did you take today, Marco?
You took them like Skittles.
Listen, we described the Premiership as a farmer's league last season when Mamelodi Sundowns caked it. So,
yeah, so I think I agree with Len. I think Amatax will be up there in the mix, you know, and Baroka definitely. It's one team that I actually wish they can come back because I feel like they've done so much in terms of football, you know. I think that it's the only team in the NFT that's got like a village. Obviously, tax user, they've got the privilege of using the tax facilities, but Baroka, they've just like investing in that region. There's so much that is happening around there.
Yeah.
You know, I so wish they can just come back to to Betway Premiership.
But also, there's some drama at Baroka, by the way.
We've got enough Limpopo teams, Chief.
Let's hear the drama.
So there's some drama at Baroka. The CEO of Baroka is actually having some beef with the owner, Mr. Mpengesi, of Chipa United. There is a player by the name of Boy. I'll just get his surname correct.
Yeah.
Madingwane. So what happened is that Boy was contracted, well, technically still is contracted to Baroka. He had another year to extend. He's now moved to Chipa United. And it seems as though he was ill-advised. He went to Chipa without acknowledging that he still has a year remaining technically at Baroka. The Baroka coach, well, the owner, Kulisi Kurishi Mphahlele, is saying, look, you guys better pay me for this guy. We need to sit down. We need to talk, or else we're going to take it as far as the legal route.
Yeah, if Chipa knows what is good for him, that he has to pay them, or they have to sit around the table and
then they will arbitrate, and the arbitrators will decide the fee.
Yeah,
the arbitrators have already said that actually Chipa has to come down and talk to them, but Chipa has not done it yet.
Yeah, they will decide a fee, and they will be forced to pay that fee if they do not come into discussions and decide a fee amongst each other. It will be left to a panel to decide what the value of the player was, and they will be forced to pay the fee that is determined by the panel. I would rather go in and negotiate a fee.
And very, very quickly, guys, another thing at ABC, Owen Degama is now a coach. He's been appointed as coach for a Limpopo team. He's now the new coach. He just started. The name of the team is Vondwe.
Vondwe?
XI Bullets, yes. Yeah. Vondwe. Or Vondwe. Yes, XI Bullets. He's now the new coach.
Of course, Super Sabul, no. Are they close? Do they camp close to your bakery?
His bakery, yeah.
Yeah. Regular customers, what you mean? Okay.
Yeah. He'll get promotion. Okay, before my bread.
Before we move on, Harry M is in the comments here saying scrap playoffs, straight promotion, and straight relegation.
That's what I said.
We've been saying that.
Would we like to see it? Do we think it's effective with 16 teams in the Premiership?
No, two up, two down.
Two up, Simple. Two down.
Simple.
Straight.
Yeah. Why complicate it with all this?
If there is a playoff like we see in England's Championship, what about a playoff between two, second, three, four, third, fourth play against play each playoffs. Other?
They can play against
but
each
no
other.
Playoff for a team that's in the advantageous position of having had a season in the Premiership.
Why get another bite of the cherry?
Okay, very, very quickly about Kune. Sivuyi Lem Tetwa saying Kune would be a better influencer than Mini Lamini. That is not even necessary.
And is.
Okay, so that's a wrap up on all things local and domestic. Tsepi.
Darling.
Let's jet off. This is Around the World with Tepi Worldwide, brought to you by Betway and the Aviator Game. Head on through to the Betway app, click on the Aviator Game, and be sure to cash out before the plane flies off. You could be one of those lucky million rand winners in the Aviator Game. Tepi.
All right, so let's go to Nigeria. Congratulations to them. They have finally named their 37th head coach for the NG Super Eagles. That's what they're called. Mm-hmm. The name of the coach is German. His name is Bruno Labbadia.
I thought it was Chimwanda. What's her name?
It has been announced that it has been reached an agreement with German tactician Bruno Labbadia to become the head coach of Nigeria's senior men's national team. This was announced much earlier today on Twitter. And I'm not sure if you guys want to talk about this one. It was, to me, it was whatever, considering that this guy was able to back it up. Noni Madueke, you would know him. He called Wolverhampton shite, right? And then eventually scored a hat-trick despite boos from Wolverhampton fans. And then he apologized. I mean, is that not just like, just being a guy?
Apparently Wolverhampton is shite place.
Why though?
But does he have to mention how shite
makes
it is?
Shite?
I don't know. Nah, there's a friend of mine who worked in the UK. I actually asked him. I don't know if I'm actually able to.
Is this your friend? Because you know football people. Did he score a hat trick against them on the weekend?
Nah, he used to play. He used to play for Wrexham before they were bought over by
the Hollywood boys. Yeah.
What's his name?
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. Yeah. So this is what the guy said, and I hope the ballers can hear. I'm gonna try play it through the mic from my phone, and you guys, I'm hoping you can hear as well. Let me increase the volume. This is what he said to me after I asked him about Wolverhampton as a shite place.
Nah, for real, Len. Like, that place is absolute trash. I remember I went there as a salesman, door-to-door salesman. I went there. It's hella quiet. It's like suburban, like truly, truly, truly suburban. It's quiet. Ah, dude. Like, the best place was probably, like, the McDonald's. Ah, goodness gracious me. It's a horrible place. It's just boring. It's honestly boring.
Okay, so while we're trashing,
like, what is it about?
But why are we trashing English small town?
It's quiet.
It's a small town.
I don't get it.
It's a small English town. If you don't, but if you don't understand England and small English towns, then why are you criticizing small English towns?
No, but if you are in a place and you're not feeling the vibe, what's wrong with you saying, like, this is a shy place?
For me, keep quiet.
I mean, I think he could have been more tactful. But the manner in which he went about it was not nice. But I mean, I guess.
But English players, Chelsea players apologizing after saying stupid things is nothing new this season.
Yeah, I know. We know Enzo.
Keep saying sorry. You're not the only people.
Not only are they racist, they also classist as well.
Yeah, because he was born in London.
So we just need someone to say something sexist and Todd Bowley can come out and say sorry for having 40 players in his squad. Moving on, darling, where are we off to next?
Okay, so we're still staying in the... No, actually, this is technically Jamaica. Based on reports, Mason Greenwood will switch international allegiance from England to Jamaica. It says that he's set to switch his international allegiance from England to Jamaica this year. He has just made one competitive appearance. You would remember for England, he is eligible to make the switch under FIFA rules as he was under 21 when he played for England too. It is said that as it stands right now, he is requesting for a switch.
To go John work with Steve McLaren, man.
With John, his man.
John Obi-Mikel, where are you?
Did you listen, remember the comments that John Obi-Mikel made?
Look, I mean, for me, I think
he's not gonna
kick the ball for England.
For England ever again.
It just makes sense for him.
Same thing with Manchester United. No, but that's why he's not there. It's not about his quality. We know he's a quality player.
It's about the monkey.
We
in
saw
his
it
bank.
In his debut for Marseille
last
weekend. Terrific player. We know that.
Crazy.
But he got up to too much nonsense. When he made that appearance for England, Gareth Southgate removed him from the squad because he was out drinking or something. There was some sort of nonsense going on. We still don't know what it was. But he was removed from the squad that day and he'll never play for England again.
Yeah, but...
Might as well go play
wrong,
for...
That's wrong, guys. You see, what I have a problem with, and I get where John Obi-Mikel was coming from, where you waited out because...
You thought you would have a chance.
You are... Kana, who's that girl again? Double citizenship. What's her name?
Chidima.
You are Chidi.
You are Chidi.
Right?
Mm.
And you are holding out to play for England. You are holding out to play for Germany. You are holding out to play for Spain or one of those illustrious countries as you look at them from a European perspective. You don't get chosen. You still hold it out. And then at some point you're like, yeah, no, I'm going back to my roots. I'm going to play for Nigeria. I'm going to play for Ghana. I think, what's his name? One of the Boatengs did the same thing.
Yeah, Prince Boateng.
Yes, because he couldn't get into the German national team.
Yeah.
But his brother could.
But we celebrated Zaha. Zaha did the same thing as well.
No, Zaha has waited out until he got into the Ivory Coast team. That's messed up because you are using your country that you want to play for. You're using them as a second. It's like a side chick.
Yeah, that's
all. You only go to her because your wife says you must sleep on the couch.
Well, I don't know about that, bro. But hey, listen. I ain't sleeping in no couches.
After taking the blue pill. But yeah.
But what I'm saying is, look, I mean, we don't know. You know, we don't know whether he will still make it in England. He's still young. He can still turn it around. We don't know. Maybe he just felt like, I'd rather.
No, but it's an option because you are not given room. The door is not open for you to play for England.
I suppose you've got a point. But what I'm saying is, I still think it's a noble thing to do.
No, it's not noble. It's messed up. I almost used a very bad word.
I still think it is.
No, there's no nobility in that.
You're we need to move on.
Using your country of origin as a side chick.
I agree with you.
But he has no other option and the country wants to take him. They've made the offer. It's beneficial to all the parties. He made his own bed. That's why he can't play for England. if Jamaica's prepared to have him and he wants to play for them, so be it.
Yeah, man.
Moving on.
Very quickly. This one is just an honorary mention. Nuguma Tlohu, she used to play for SD Eibar. It is said now that the Spanish women's B-League side, Casareno Firmino, have announced the signing of veteran Banyana defender. You cannot... Okay, actually, I'd like for you guys to guess how old this lady is.
She's 35.
She's 39.
41.
Okay, you were close enough. She's 38 years old.
Sure.
And she will be playing in a new 39? Team.
I said 39.
He's closer. I said 35.
Oh, okay. Yes. So she is going to be playing for that team now. Just a very, very quick mention. She spent 4 years at SD Eibar, where she played 44 matches and helped the team navigate through relegation and promotion. She was named Africa Women's Footballer of the Year back in 2008. And has been a key figure in SA football. So congratulations to her.
That was soon after your retirement.
Yeah. Oh, and on that note, just to chirp into
yes.
while we're on women's football, big ups to the University of the Western Cape.
Ooh, they came have back.
Qualified yes. for the CAF Women's Champions League. First university to do that. And we're going to have two teams in the Women's Champions League, Mamelodi Sundowns ladies, as well as UWC. So big ups to them.
What about Kaizer Chiefs ladies? Oh, wait. Moving on. Moving on.
You're on the road today.
Hey, I'm on fire today. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling salty. I'm feeling spicy. Let's go.
And that's okay. All we have for you worldwide.
Thank you so much, darling. That was Around the World with Tippy Worldwide, brought to you by Betway and Aviator. Betway, get way more. Ballers, thank you so much for updating us on La Liga action. Rayo Vallecano against Barcelona. 15 minutes into the game. Guess on the scoreline. Barcelona.
They're losing. Ruining my bet slip again.
Yep, well, there you go. What? That's Rayo Vallecano winning 1-0 against Barcelona.
No, they're leading, Marco. They're leading.
Leading by a goal to nil. Winning.
Yeah,
no, sorry for your bet slip. Winning. Winning.
I hope they lose.
Winning, winning.
Of course you'd say that.
Okay.
No, I didn't like how they treat Gundogan. I didn't like that.
No, that was, if we're going to get into the conversation quickly, it was a case of what a lot of teams are trying to do. It's there are financial rules set into play. Gundogan was one of the highest paid players at Barca. They needed to get Dani Olmo in their books because they didn't register him for some time after
buying. Then why did they give him a 3-year contract at that high salary?
Because at the time it made sense.
No, bro. Like what I'm saying is it's messed up.
Are you just a City supporter? It's fine.
Okay. So seeing as we just spent a little time in London's very posh, proper suburbs, let's head on back to Chelsea against Wolves.
Hey.
I'd like to apologize to Chelsea fans who are ballers. I'd like to apologize to Todd Bowley. And I'd like to apologize to Enzo Maresca because what a result on the weekend. And I'll hold my apology for a little bit and I'll say I might just change my mind again if they slip up next
week. By the
way,
I'm the only person last week who did say that Chelsea was going to win.
They just played against a Wolves team that went into disarray in the second half.
Crumbled because they kept equalizing. So yes. Chelsea took an early lead, Wolves equalized, then Chelsea took a lead again. Then before half time, it went in 2-2. Then they started to fall apart.
For me, there was a level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Your data bundles of English have run away
complacency.
From me. Yeah, they were complacent.
Yeah.
And right? The confidence, the crumbling of a team is down to confidence.
If you look at the three goals that Noni scored.
Yeah.
Similar. Like, literally.
One right-hand cut-in shoot.
Yes. All of them from Cole Palmer to Madueke.
Yeah.
On the side, on the right.
In.
Below the keeper's legs on the side.
They gave him too much room.
Exactly. Like, fool me once, shame on you.
Fool me twice, shame on me for being the same fool.
Fool me once, twice. Shame on me.
Yeah.
Now, three times is just mediocrity. So, okay. Wolves were very... Yeah, there's a
so
level
you,
of...
So you're not prepared to celebrate Chelsea too much in that one?
No, he did not celebrate them at all.
They're still a mess.
They're still not a football club?
No.
Okay. However, what I will say is I'm happy for anyone to criticize Chelsea to whatever extent still for now, because it's clearly a mess.
Still early.
And they need to ship a few players out the door. Raheem Sterling, I think that any club who picks him up is getting a top-class player.
I just don't like how Sterling is being treated, by the way.
Not him only. Ben Chilwell is also going through the same.
Yeah, it's not right. Nice. Like, get your act together before the league starts. You
I
know?
Agree.
What you know, do your business and don't. You can't just leave.
Maresca was announced a long time ago.
That's what I'm saying.
He should have known which players he wanted to keep, etc. But what's not surprising about the quality of Chelsea in that game is all the real quality came from a certain an individual named Cole Palmer. 4 goal contributions in a single game. Well done to him. Terrific
player.
Look,
he's good. And I take what I said back last week. You know, remember I said, you know, in the first game, he looked out of place. You know, I think it was just one of those things where it's the first game of the season, you know, it's trying to adapt into
it's
the
City.
New, in the, you know, so.
You're playing against City. You're going to look
as
out
well,
of place.
Yeah, so.
The other thing is, look, Palmer is quality player. We can't take that away from him.
Absolutely.
The goal that he scored,
fantabulous.
The vision to actually be able to do that, like, that was absolute class. However, it still does not take away from the fact that Chelsea is still in disarray.
Okay, so we will see next week. Yeah. Yes, Tippy darling.
Let's
please
do that.
Go
I
on.
Just wanted to just jump onto the Palmer situation. You know what I like about him? How composed he is.
I think he's.
I love his composure.
Yeah, nothing ever really
like,
bugs
nothing
him.
Nothing phases him.
At all. You
it's
see it in interviews, whatever.
Watch.
Hence,
yeah.
Cold Palmer.
Very, very
cold
composed.
As ice. They play Crystal Palace on Sunday in the early kickoff or earlier of the kickoffs.
Yeah.
At 2:30 p.m. our time against Crystal Palace at home. Palace still adapting, but tougher game than Wolves.
Glasner, first two games, not necessarily going the way he would want. I still think he likes experimenting a lot. Also, remember, this is the first time he's actually starting a season with Palace.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one of those coaches who likes tinkering with his squad here and there and tinkering with tactics here and there. But once his tinkering has tinkered...
yeah.
He hits the ground running.
I think Crystal Palace... traditionally slow starters anyway.
Yeah.
They don't really go flying up the league and then they seem to finish strong at the end of the season and they finish mid-table. It's a normal Crystal Palace story. So I think that Chelsea could find themselves on 6 points come Sunday.
No, and they're going to draw.
Yep.
No,
well, I don't see that.
We'll see.
The
one thing that I will say about Chelsea that will get fans a little bit happy, other than the big scoreline against Wolves, is the combination of two new signings contributing to the final goals, João Félix and Pedro Neto. So money perhaps well spent. We know the quality of those two Portuguese players. I think that they could combine nicely. It's all about Chelsea getting rid of a few players. The squad size is too big. As soon as they do that, we can see players sort of making certain positions their own and allowing Enzo Maresca to just go ahead and
Maresca
do his job.
Maresca was saying last week that he only has 21 players that he's
in his
that's
squad.
What he said, yeah.
The others are training with the under 21s. The others are cleaning boots.
And that's no good.
And why would you go out and say something
that
like
is,
that?
I don't think he's media trained enough.
No, guys.
Don't like how he goes about the media.
He is singing. He went to lyrics.com. There are lyrics that are given to him for him to sing.
Okay.
So he's basically uttering the thoughts and the sentiments of
the boardroom.
Yes, who pays his salary?
Okay, we must move on from London.
Didn't learn anything
town.
From Pep, eh?
Sorry,
you didn't learn anything from Pep.
Yo, ungena who Pep?
He's his child, miss.
He's his child.
Okay, City and Pirates just find and Man United just find ways into conversations. That
Marco, continue.
Okay, so moving on from London town, we're heading over to Liverpool and on a slot with slot ball. I think that I was too quick to judge Liverpool at the beginning of the season because I was concerned that there's a new manager coming in and there's going to take time to make the changes, et cetera, et cetera. And then I was worried that there were no new signings coming in. Speaking of transfers, really big transfer announced. Mama Bashvori, the Georgian goalkeeper who was fantastic at the Euros. He has signed for Liverpool. He will go back on loan once again, and then he will join Liverpool permanently next season when we imagine that Brazilian goalkeeper from Liverpool, Alisson Becker, is likely to leave for Saudi, as all the Brazilians do.
Money.
Okay, so this is only the second match, slot. Are we already saying that he is going to be that person that's going to lead them to victory?
I'm not going to talk about like a Premier League title or anything like that. I'm just saying I'm expecting Liverpool to perform well. And there's one thing that stood out for me with that is that we know Liverpool's got a quality side. But we know that Luis Diaz, Diogo Jota, Mohamed Salah, Szoboszlai, Van Dijk, Alisson Becker. We know that Liverpool have a good football side.
Are you leaving Nunes out on purpose?
Of course. I'm talking about the good side, not necessarily the
But also, Marco, from what you're saying.
I just want to finish my point. Is that Klopp's rock and roll football was extremely exciting, great to watch. And they did a lot of very good things. And Liverpool were hard to deal with. And then they would put a patter out later in a season. They'd have some tough games, etc. They'd maybe get rolled over by a smaller side when they just don't finish their chances because they weren't pragmatic enough. Arne Slot is far more pragmatic than Jurgen Klopp. Expect a lot more boring nights at Anfield, but sometimes boring football gets you better results. I expect Liverpool to do well this season.
I think it's too early to judge, number one. Number two, Liverpool have not really been tested. I don't even think they're going to be tested this weekend. I think the run of fixtures.
The hate that you have. Like, bro, like, can't you just make your point across without just hating on other teams? This guy.
Who am I hating on?
You know,
you're
bro.
Hating on Manchester United, but please go on, finish your point.
I mean, he hates on everyone. Finish your point.
We'll get to
Chelsea.
Your early kickoff Saturday against Brighton just now. Please finish your point.
So, like, Liverpool has got, like, easy fixtures. Like, I mean, they played Ipswich. I mean, Ipswich, newly promoted. Brentford, no Ivan Toney. Brentford is not really that enterprising. They blow hot and cold. Mm-hmm. Their next fixture is against an okay Manchester United. Not really a top four team. They're just bubbling unders type of vibes. And so until Arne Slot plays the likes of your Spurs, your Brightons, your Villa, your Arsenal,
don't mention City.
Don't mention
them. I don't want you to mention them.
All right. Then we can almost kind of like gauge if Slot ball slots right in. But playing like... But our Sunday league type teams like United and Chelsea and Brentford and Ipswich Town, you can't really gauge them on that.
It's a second game. Obviously, you can't read much out of it, but I agree with Marco. There's a level of pragmatic that is there in that team. And also, you don't just shake off Klopp's DNA that quick. You know, I think as the game progresses, the players are just going to slot in into the coach's idea, you know. You know, because, I mean, obviously, Klopp's ideas are still much... No, I mean,
I think this guy's got like a miniature doll of Pep Guardiola there that he sleeps with.
I'm not like you,
and
bro.
He gives it good night.
I'm not like you.
He gives it pep talks. Carry on. Sorry, Super.
I lost the trail of my thoughts. Come on.
Okay, so if you are a fan of slot ball, you might just be a fan of Betway's jackpot slots. Put yourself in the right place at the right time with Betway Jackpot Slots each week, and you could walk away with a share of 1 million rand in cash prizes every Thursday and Friday. All you need to do to qualify is bet 1 rand or more on selected Betway Jackpot Slots games every Thursday and Friday between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. I'm sure even Arne Slot would be happy with that one. It's Betway Jackpot Slots on Betway. Get way more. Okay, back to Premier League fixtures. Mo Salah still getting goals. Too good, says Neo Isaacs. Absolutely.
He cut his hair.
Yeah, but he's not Samsung. It's fine. He still scores goals. Yeah. And
that's biblical, Marco. That's very biblical.
Okay, so blasphemy. If you are in the Fantasy Premier League with the rest of us, you'll see my team there. Fantasy
What's your
Premier.
Team?
My my team's called Doesn't Change FC because I choose 11 players at the beginning of the season and then I leave.
Okay.
Because I couldn't be bothered.
Because you?
But
how did you lose Super Sub?
I did well
because I've got Haaland. So obviously
I've got Haaland as captain, so I'm sure I did well this weekend. Manchester City beating Ipswich Town 4-0 at home. Erling Haaland with a hat trick. Does that boy ever stop scoring goals?
I think the one mistake, Ipswich, and I get it. Like they technically new again, right? The one thing you
the
never
season
make
before
a mistake,
last, they were in League One.
Yeah, okay. The mistake you don't make is score first against City. And that's what they did. Listen, and that was at their detriment.
The mistake you don't make is playing against City.
But we know, don't score like so quickly like against them. Like you saw what happened.
A fixture is a fixture. I know, but I'm just saying it's whether they score first or you score first or whatever, it's City.
But it felt like, it felt like a beating. It felt like a, who do you think you are? Like, don't you know where you are? You know? I really fell for them. The first half was just... It was really sad. And I mean, obviously, you saw Ipswich was quite aggressive physically.
Yeah.
But I mean, yes, we know Haaland, that penalty, whatever. But the other two goals, he was just stellar, as always. Super sub, let's hear you.
Three goals in four minutes for Man City to turn that around.
Easy.
I mean, the game was over early on.
Yeah. I just hope Ipswich, they're not going to approach the Premier League the same way Burnley approached the Premier League, you know, and try and be this attacking team going all out.
You need
sometimes
to be
just play
pragmatic.
Old school football.
There was a level of toxicity at Burnley. I don't know if you saw the documentary.
But I'm still making up my point.
Oh, sorry.
This guy, every time when I talk, he just...
Bake, Chief, bake.
Yeah, let's this guy.
Bake, Chummy.
Get to your point.
Yeah, you remember how they approach the games, you know, they go all out trying to press, you know, do you have enough depth in your squad? Do you have enough quality that can sustain you for the entire season? And I think part of the reason that Burnley finds themselves where they are, it's because they do not have enough personality in their squad. And I hope Ipswich, they're not going to approach the Premier League the same way as Burnley did.
Question then, Super Sub, do you want, okay, when you think about it, Ipswich was going to go, whether they were going to press, whether they were going to just pack the bus and let them come to them, the reality is that they were probably going to lose this match. Would you rather have them just come in there and be on some, I have nothing to lose? Or do you want them to sit there and just take it?
Listen, Ipswich wouldn't be the first team to get a point at the Etihad as a newly promoted side to disappoint City when they're on fire. It's happened before in the past. We've seen Southampton get points there. We've seen... Blackpool get points there. We've seen teams in the past get points at the Etihad.
Also,
I agree, you can't come to this league and try to be overly enterprising when you're one of the smaller sides and you don't have the squad for it. But I do think that one of the big things that could be happening for Ipswich is the signing of Chelsea striker. Ipswich, the Chelsea striker that they're looking to bring in on loan with a duty to buy. He's a fantastic goal scorer and obviously surplus to requirements at Chelsea.
There's no parking spot for him.
There's no parking spot for him at all.
But also on Ipswich, let's be fair, guys. As much as we can bash them and Super Sub.
Armando Broja, that's the striker's name. There we go.
And Super Sub is, I feel he's being very unfair to Ipswich. Newly promoted side, your first two games are City and Liverpool. Come on.
Yeah, they'll have easier games.
But did you hear what I said?
You're saying their approach, you're comparing them to Burnley and Burnley.
No, I'm saying I hope they don't approach the Premier League the same way Burnley approached the Premier League.
But they're not. They just started off with very nasty fixtures.
I don't dispute that. But I'm saying as a newly promoted team, I hope they don't approach the league the same way Burnley did.
Yeah, they haven't been pragmatic enough in two fixtures against two of the best sides in England.
Exactly. Like these are two.
Yeah, but I think that's what he's getting at is if they continue that trend of not being pragmatic in those games,
they
could find themselves disappointed at the bottom of the league table.
Look, unlike certain teams, right? Like the Chelsea's and the Man United's of this world, City, Liverpool, Arsenal know how to put the smaller sides to the sword because you can win the league and still lose to City home and away. Because City might drop points maybe at a Leicester or a Southampton or kind of like those games. Or Man United actually has a tendency of coming to the party when they play the bigger sides.
Of course.
Right? Hey, how the mighty have fallen. But
mean, the how small size you have put, fallen?
The smaller size you put them to the sword. Your Ipswiches, your Leicesters, and the Wolves of this world, and. Because you know that, okay, if I'm budgeting 90 points, because the league was won with 92 points. This, no, 91.
91, 89.
91?
89.
89,
yes.
Who was 89? It was Arsenal.
Okay.
Wow.
Just checking. If,
right.
Continue.
You need to put away the smaller sides.
Okay, like Arsenal is expected to do on Saturday at home to Brighton.
Brighton is not a small side. United would know about that.
5 a.m. for your pasta. 5 a.m. for your pasta. Saturday, early kickoff, Arsenal against Brighton.
It's going to be a tough game. Fabian looks like he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Fabian has a solid side. You'd swear that Danny Welbeck is rolling back the years.
He had a good game, actually.
Mitoma just showing the class that he is.
Fantastic player.
The likes of your Dunk in defense.
The experience, right, James Milner as well.
James Milner as well. So
Brighton have a good side.
Brighton have a solid side, and it would be very disingenuous to actually think of Brighton as a small side. I would actually rate them above a comedy team like Chelsea, for instance, right? Chelsea is like Boswell Sekas kind of vibes. Brighton are a very well-run team. And interesting stat.
Mm-hmm.
When Brighton played United, do you know that Anthony cost more than the Brighton starting 11?
I'm not surprised. it won't be anymore because Brighton have made new additions that will be introduced into the side. They have spent some money this summer for the first time for Brighton to have spent to the extent that they have. But they're a club that makes money on transfers rather than spends most of it. We've seen it with Moses Caicedo's move to Chelsea. We've seen it with Trossard to Arsenal, where Brighton make very good profits on their players.
And
we expect Brighton to continue to do well in the Premier League. I think they're a good side. I think they play quite well. Let's talk about Arsenal's fixture at the weekend, Len Moleko. Before we head over to our predictions, well done to Arsenal. I think the first half was kind of tough for them. All you need to know about this game that Arsenal won is that David Raya was man of the match. It's a tough place to go, Villa Park. We know that.
Let me sum up the game like this. Ollie Watkins lost the game for Aston Villa because the chance that he squandered where he put the ball wide, that was supposed to be a goal.
That was an open net.
And then the ricochet from, I think, Onana hit the ball and hit the crossbar, came back to Ollie Watkins, and he literally headed it back to David Raya. Two goals, Arsenal had not made any significant movements that looked like, okay,
threatening movements. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Villa 2-0 up at the time, and before the first half, you score those two goals as Ollie Watkins, Arsenal are 2-0 down. Then the nightmare of, oh snap, these are the guys that actually cost us the league, it's happening again, probably creeps in, and then Arsenal fold. Then as Villa you go, you push, you win the game. But those two chances squandered literally just gave the chance for Arsenal to do what they did. Lisandro Trossard coming in, and I think Mikel Arteta should actually start considering starting Trossard ahead of Martinelli, because I haven't seen Martinelli offering much. And I still feel with the second goal that Thomas Partey scored, Emi Martinez could have done better.
Okay, so let's look forward to the weekend's fixtures before we move on.
May I just say something now?
Sure.
About Arteta also. And I mean, just the introduction of Trossard. I just like how decisive he is. And he's excellent when it comes to substitutions. He's able to read the game very well. And he's able to have a person come in. Trossard was a one touch and then it was a goal. But the other thing, I remember we had a conversation last year about Ramsdale and Raya. And I was like, why is it being so unfair? You know, Ramsdale was not such a bad keeper when he decided that Raya is going to be the number one keeper. And I understand now why he chose him. He clearly had foresight, things that we might have not even known or seen. And it's starting to really show now. Statistically, he is slightly better. And he's made a great decision.
Ramsdale is a case of like how you have your Edisons, your Allison. Mm-hmm. He's
He's there.
He's good as a sweeper keeper more than Ramsdale is. Yeah. And Arteta ball requires one as a keeper to actually be able to like
distribute the ball.
Distribute the ball, pass Saliba, Timber, White. Gabriel, Ben White, bring it back, pass in, not like put it down and ship it across the field. So
he saw that.
Yes.
And it's great.
So from a, what do you call it? Sweeper keeper perspective, David Raya is better than Ramsdale. And that's why he went as far as to, Raya's from Brighton, right?
Bournemouth.
No. Or was it Brentford?
Was it not Bournemouth?
Tell us.
Anyway. Yes,
but yeah,
great.
But yeah, shout out to him.
Arsenal
for that.
Against Brighton this weekend. Early kickoff, early 5 a.m. Pass the dishes for the boys because they have to play at 1:30 our
time. Not Liverpool.
Yeah,
Arsenal to win.
Listen, this weekend it's not Liverpool, but if I scroll forward down the list here just a little bit, we see Liverpool playing Crystal Palace on the 5th of October at 1:30 on a Saturday. So. Back to standard procedures for the Premier League there. But Arsenal against Brighton, early kickoff Saturday. The odds on Betway, these are Betway picks. Arsenal 1.35 to win it. A draw at 5.4. That's a very attractive draw. And Brighton at 8 to win this game. Len Moleko, I'll start you off as an Arsenal fan.
Arsenal to win.
Tepi, darling?
Arsenal to win, but a 2-1. Very close.
Super sub.
So it's Brighton at home.
Away. Brighton are away. It's at the Emirates.
No, it's Arsenal.
Okay, so I agree. I think Arsenal should just scrape that one. I think that Brighton are a good side, but they only beat Manchester United due to absolutely awful defending at the end of that game. As
Did
soon
you
as Man
see
United
get at the back end there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people can criticize Man United all they like and the set of players, etc., etc. It tells you a lot that a club like Napoli are prepared to pay 30 million. For Scott McTominay, we know that there's quality in the squad. What we don't understand is how the managers get it so tactically wrong and they can't prepare that team to defend for their own lives. Absolutely horrendous. Although I think Man United could have won that game at Brighton if Amad Diallo took his initial chance. And then there's the
Xerxes had as well.
Well, it was where Xerxes was offside because he touched the ball. Garnacho finished into an empty net. Hit Xerxes.
Yeah.
And Xerxes was offside. It was the correct decision.
That's
unlucky
by the way.
For two young players where Xerxes, if he was more experienced, he would have done his utmost to get out the way of that knowing he was offside. Such is a life of football. Brentford against Southampton. 1.74 favourites for Brentford and a home win. Southampton look like they're going to struggle along all season. Len Moleko, Brentford at home to Southampton Saturday, 4 o'clock.
Both teams will score, but I think the end result will be a win for Brentford.
I see a draw.
Super sub.
Brentford to win.
Brentford to win, I think, 2-0. So I think that Southampton won't score and Brentford will win the game. So Brentford to score, Southampton not to score, and Brentford win. Just to step up your odds there ever so slightly. Everton against Bournemouth, same time. Everton at home against Bournemouth. Should be time for Everton to start recovering a little bit of form. Ben Moleko?
Everton to lose.
Everton to lose, Bournemouth to win away at Everton.
Yes.
Tepi, darling, Bournemouth 2-1 to win.
For Bournemouth.
Okay, super sub.
Bournemouth to win.
You guys are picking Bournemouth to win. The odds favour Bournemouth ever so slightly. 2.8 for the odds for Everton to win this game. A draw at 3.4 and a Bournemouth win at 2.5. I think that I would back under 1.5 for this game. I don't see goals in it. I think that whoever wins it by a solitary 1-0 win. And I don't sort of see Everton scoring. So I might be, if I want to save my entire bet slip, because I think this one's a bit give and take, I would back Bournemouth or draw, just so that you're putting up your odds a little bit on your bet slip, but not throwing away an entire bet slip on a difficult one to call. Ipswich at home to Fulham. Fulham to win, says Len Moleko, Tepi, darling.
Me too, actually.
And super sub.
I'll give it to Ipswich.
Ipswich odds 2.95 to win, a draw at 3.45, and Fulham to win at 2.36. I think this is the weekend that Ipswich turns it around. I do think that Fulham's a good experienced side, though, so I'm going to back it as a draw. That's what I'm saying for Ipswich to turn things around. Yeah. I don't think Ipswich are going to win this one. I think Fulham are a good side. They've got a lot of experience in their side. Ipswich have the opposite. I think it will be a 1-1, a 2-2, both teams to score and a draw. I mean, big odds I'm going to get on that one, but it is a risky one, I understand. Aston Villa against Leicester, travelling over to Leicester.
Big win for
Aston
Villa.
Aston Villa.
Big win for Villa. They would want to bounce back after they blip.
They will be vengeful, of course. Yes.
Against Arsenal.
They will, yeah, they're going
Ollie
to want
Watkins to probably score
themselves.
More than a goal.
Okay.
And probably even Rodgers. Yeah, I see a Villa win.
Super sub.
Villa win.
Yeah.
The bookies agree with you. Aston Villa at 1.76 for an away win. Leicester at 4.4 and a draw at 3.85. I agree with all of you. I think Aston Villa will win. I think that Leicester will score. I think Aston Villa will score. So both teams to score for me and a Villa win. Nottingham Forest against Wolves. Forest at home. Wolves coming off of a terrifically poor performance against Chelsea at home. Now they have to travel to Forest. The odds favour Forest at 2.07 for a win. Wolves 3.45 and a draw at 3.6. Another game, tough-ish to call.
I'd go with the odds. I figure Nottingham Forest to win.
Just a fine margin?
Convincing 2-0.
Okay. Tepi?
I see a draw.
Super sub.
I'm going with Tepi as well on this one. I think it's going to be a draw.
I wouldn't risk my bet slip on this one. I'd probably avoid it altogether. But if you're forcing me, I think that Forest will edge a win. I think they've got a lot of pace and they're going to hurt Wolves defensively.
Okay.
So I think there's a lot of pace in that Forest side. And I think on a counter-attack, when Wolves do tend to push on, they might just punish them. This is a tough game for City on Saturday night. West Ham at the London Stadium.
Win for City. We saw it last season. We were all crossing our legs and minyaring, hoping that West Ham does a number on
City. Don't say all, Chief.
Eh.
No, I'm talking about all of, and they know themselves, all of. Look, I think for neutrals, a lot of people were hoping that there was going to be a blip with City against West Ham. That
we don't like happen. Seeing a team win four in a row.
Yeah,
anyway,
that didn't happen.
No.
So
I see, I feel like...
More of the same is going to happen. City will... wipe the floors with West Ham at the London Stadium. Despite West Ham obviously bouncing back and winning against Palace over the weekend, I still think City, with the quality that they have, the Savinios of this world, Gundogan is back.
On to the next fixture, Marco.
Super sub.
Onto the next fixture. Onto the next fixture, Mark.
City win.
Onto the next fixture.
Manchester City favourites to the bookies as well. 1.42 and 6.6 for West Ham win. 5.2 for a draw. Bookies outrageously favouring Manchester City. We said Chelsea at home to Crystal Palace. I think Chelsea will scrape it early Sunday.
Even me.
Chelsea to lose.
Chelsea to lose, Crystal Palace to win that one, even though Crystal Palace is a different type of team. Listen, place your bets, Chief. You said West Ham would lose against Crystal Palace. Now it's Chelsea to prove you wrong on that one as well. Super sub?
Chelsea for a win.
I agree.
Yep.
And the bookmakers agree as well at 1.61 to 5 for Crystal Palace. So more money in the Betway account from Len Moleko. Newcastle against Spurs.
Spurs to win.
Castle at home. I'll go for Newcastle.
It's a tough fixture to call.
It could be, exactly. Like, I'm just leaning towards a draw.
Is it the one to avoid as well?
100%. Yeah. And the bookmakers agree with me there. 2.48 for a Newcastle win. 4 for a draw and 2.5 for a Spurs win. So Newcastle ever so slightly favourites to the bookkeepers. I think that if you force me to choose a result, I think Newcastle will shade this one because, again, I think that there's certain teams that can approach a game with a certain amount of pragmatism and that will take them over the line. And let's be honest, Spurs aren't that team. And then the big game of the weekend, Manchester United, Old Trafford against Liverpool.
Wait, did we speak about Man
U? We did.
When?
We said they couldn't defend against Brighton. And I said that they played well, and Xerxes' goal was disallowed, etc. Man United against Liverpool at Old Trafford, Sunday night. Come on, Sunday guys. Night football.
No, I just wanted to hear.
Len Moleko, you already said Liverpool would win comfortably.
You know, in life,
what?
You are limited to a certain number of words. Do you really want to waste them talking about Man United?
Super sub, Man United, Old Trafford, Liverpool.
I think it's going to be a very tricky game, and United tend to, like, what's the word?
They show up.
They tend to show up. Yes, thanks, Len. They tend to show up against big clubs. We've seen it against City in the FA Cup. You know, I think they're gonna cause an upset.
This is still the biggest game in English football. Tepi, Man United against Liverpool at Old Trafford Sunday night.
I see a Liverpool win. I think I've had enough faith in United, and they really let me down last week. So I'm going with Liverpool.
Lemoreko, you already said Liverpool to win.
No. I was actually being disingenuous because I was trying to poke fun at you. I'm being serious.
So Len, when you come to the studio, you're like, I'm going to poke fun at Super Sap and I'm going to poke fun at Marco. That's your motor's
reaction.
Operandi here.
I'm
here. We see you, bro.
I'm a poke.
Okay, but continue. Yeah.
Get away.
Okay, come.
So, I really think United would want to sort of like bounce back. They do show, like Super Sap said, they do show up against big teams. I'm not saying that Man United is not a big team. They still are. They're just going through a rough patch. And I think this is the first game that Arne Slot is actually going to get tested. And I see Man United actually going over the line and winning this game closely. So either 2-1 or 3-2.
Okay, the bookmakers disagree with that. They've got Liverpool at 1.86, a draw at 4.1, and Man United to win at home at 3.7. It's not many games that Man United will be given such poor odds at home, so the bookmakers really fancy Liverpool in the way they're playing now. I think it'll be really tough for Man United to get anything out of this game just because Liverpool's so dangerous on the counter-attack and Man United can't defend it at all. They play a high line. Salah will just run in behind you. And they've got three deadly attackers that can punish Man United at any point, and Man United can't defend. So I think it's going to be a tough weekend for Man United. It's going to be an interesting fixture.
I hate what Man United does to Marco Yaz. like even when he speaks about them like this, like
pain in his heart.
I hate this. What you do. Look. I'd never mind what United does. I hate what you do.
Okay, so those are our Betway picks ahead of the Premier League action this weekend. A little bit of transfer news before we take you to the penalty shootout game. Transfers, Germany goalkeeper Manuel Neuer is retired from international football along with many other Germany stars. Mm. It's time for a new crop of German talent. We saw them perform well without those big name stars in the European Championships in Germany. So it's time for the new crop to come in. Romelu Lukaku to Napoli. Looks like that one will get over the line. We've been expecting it all week. Yeah. We know the relationship with Antonio Conte and Romelu Lukaku. I think that Lukaku scores goals in Italy. It's the league for him. We think it was a mistake for him to return to Chelsea at any point for both of them. So, yeah, good move for them, which seemed to be opening the door for Victor Osimhen, the Nigerian striker, to be joining Chelsea, as they were looking at Osimhen as an option for a new number 9. Of course, that's a priority option, but he is very expensive, both on salary and transfers.
And it looks like...
It looks like Ivan Toney is going to be a slightly cheaper option for them and also more of a known factor in the Premier League. Chelsea have burnt their fingers picking up players from Italy and Spain and whatever who score goals there and then struggle in the Premier League. Ivan Toney will be more of a sure bet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting one to watch. I'm going to be very interested to see now that Lukaku's going to Napoli, Osimhen has to leave and his options are dwindling.
PSG was also touted about, but
they've just signed Constancao from Porto. So I don't know if PSG, in terms of a financial fair play regulation standpoint, has much money. Maybe after this Ugarte signing with Manchester United, which is a reason why Man United had to sell Scott McTominay to Napoli in order to get this Ugarte deal.
But done. Also with Victor Osimhen, his buyout clause, his salary demands are just too high. I don't see any team literally.
Because, other than the Saudi clubs, and he doesn't seem to want to go to Saudi.
Isn't it a bit too early for him to even go to Saudi?
So that's what him and his agents are saying, is that he's still got too much to do in Europe before he heads over to Saudi. Mm. But as September 1st approaches, it might be his only option.
Yep, and we
A lot is happening. Can I just say, Mpoza, shout out to you. Mpoza is giving away memberships.
Memberships to who?
For podcast our platform. Show. Yeah, he's given La Vido, Tiamo, Hamp Wednesday, German Black, Sir Minor. Shout out to you, bro.
Big ups, Mpoza.
Thank you, Mpoza.
Love you, long time.
Oh, Mpoza Batong. He's given away five memberships. Shout out to you,
bro. So, yeah, Osimhen too expensive. I don't see, if he doesn't go to Saudi, he might as well just stay at Napoli and fight
for his place with Lukaku.
With Lukaku.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well fight for the place with Lukaku, but I don't think Napoli are going to force him out the door because he said he wants to go. They said, okay, but you're going to stay with us one season. He said, okay, and now they've signed another striker. They can't afford to keep him. They need to get their money for him. So he's going to be forced out the door, and I won't be surprised to see Osimhen go over to Saudi League because he's been pushed out the door at the last minute and he's priced himself out of teams in Europe.
That was quite premature.
So let's see what happens in the closing stages of this window. Of course, we've got a few days left.
He's chichering himself.
Hey. And then...
Mr. Universe.
The jokes write themselves. Like,
I didn't say that. Yeah. I didn't say that.
He's behaving like Mr. Universe. What can we say?
Mamardashvili, we spoke about him joining Liverpool. That'll be next summer. He will remain where he is currently in Italy. He will continue to ply his trade there for another season. In La Liga. He'll continue to ply his trade there in La Liga with Valencia. He was La Liga goalkeeper of the season last season. Terrific at the Euros. But Liverpool have made their only signing of the season. But he'll join.
Guys, are you watching Madrid? What's our boy doing there? The new one?
He's fine. Enric.
Is he there? Enric
is the youngest foreigner to score for Real Madrid in their history. Yeah. Real Madrid won their second La Liga fixture this weekend.
They didn't win their second.
Didn't they draw?
They won their second fixture. They drew their first fixture.
Please, disconnect.
No Bluetooth. And then Juventus absolutely flying in Serie A. The changes they've made some fantastic signings. The midfield is looking fantastic. The strikers are firing. Juventus looking to find their way back to the top of Italian football, and it'll be nice to see.
Is that why you're wearing the jersey?
I wear this jersey regularly. Please don't come
at me. And it suits you, darling. It does wonders for your turn. You look amazing.
I look like Platini himself.
Baby. Okay. Let's continue, guys.
Sure. Those blue pills. Okay, moving on to the game. Len Moleko's got a game prepared for us. Penalty shootout as we close off for Penaldino. The evening.
So how the game works.
So Len's nickname now is Tobeta.
Okay, Tepi and I are not allowed to look.
Tepi and Marco are not allowed to look at the screen. Super Sub is going to be giving away the clues to the game. Marco, you need to...
I'm already stressed.
Thank you.
Don't stress,
much.
Darling. I'll give good clues.
Okay.
As it is, this is how the game works. Whoever can figure out the answer will have to shout out
Betway.
If you don't shout Betway and you give the answer, then the answer is not considered and you don't get the points.
It's null and void.
It's null and void, yes. It's like somebody trying to enter Miss South Africa. Anyway.
Tabang, are you there? Okay, continue.
The first one. Here we go. Oh, I need to make it full screen. Okay, super
Shaka.
Sub. Here we go.
Marco Tepi. You played for Juventus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the...
What nationality?
It's Italian. No, it's not Italian.
Told you today I'm nasty.
I think it's from Czech Republic.
Okay, Betway, Pavel Nedved.
Yeah, I want, yes.
Nice one, Marco. 3 points to Marco. Yes, it is Pavel Nedved.
Yeah. The single best double-footed player I've ever seen in my life. I cannot see a player who can take a free kick with his right foot or his left foot in the way Pavel Nedved was able to.
Was that not a good clue, Marco?
It was a terrific clue.
Thank you.
Wow, okay.
You should have asked me as well, and I was going to say no, whatever.
Okay, let's go on to the next one. Super sub.
Tepi, Marco, this guy captain Sundowns, I think, at some point.
Muriri.
No. Wait, he's from Nigeria.
Monyango.
He used to pass the ball with this outside foot.
Travella.
He was really good, man. He played for Mamelodi Sundowns when they were wearing discipline.
Five.
They can look.
Three.
I know him.
It's Roger Fitumba.
One. Roger Fitumba. So it's still Marco leading by 3 points. Let's go on to the next one. Super sub. Give it to them.
Does this game have to be this hard? Okay. Super sub.
He captained AC Milan.
Just because he's wearing a captain's armband.
Yeah, he captained AC Milan. It's the first clue.
Okay, he captained AC Milan. Nationality? Do you know?
This one I don't know.
I'm nasty today.
Position?
I'm nasty today.
It's Maldini?
No, it's not Maldini. It's not Baresi.
After them?
Can I give a clue? After them, yeah.
Okay, can I give a voluntary clue?
Yes.
Okay. He was nicknamed the Italian dog.
The Italian dog, Gattuso.
There we go. Yay.
Is this Gattuso?
Yes, this is General Gattuso.
Gattuso.
I mean, can you get a better picture?
Why didn't you give us a better clue?
Okay.
Sometimes we play a good, sometimes... No, I get it. But sometimes we play a good, sometimes we play shit.
All right, what a legend, Marco, Gattuso. Before you learn, didn't Gattuso had like, what do you call, bald head?
Shaved head after this. After this.
Oh, yeah, like, fuck, my head with.
Oh, wow. This is a family show, Super Sub.
My apologies.
What are your head yet, son? You haven't got complaints.
Okay. Next.
Next one. If you get this
last
one.
Last one, my friend.
If you get this one, I promise you, I owe you a bottle of whiskey.
Who? Oh. Super Sub?
I know him.
I know him. I knew I'd get you with this one.
Oh, man. Jesus, I'm going to pinch myself.
Oh, I feel like I just took a blue pill. Damn.
This guy won a Ballon d'Or, Nelly?
No.
He did not?
No.
Nationality? Club? What shirt are you wearing?
Yeah. There's a story. And I... man.
This one I know for a fact you won't be able to even give one clue.
Okay, give us a...
give the clue, Len.
But if you've got a clue for us...
He's a coach. He used to coach Chelsea and he coached on the African continent as well.
It's Paul
Heyman. He coached, I think, Morocco.
Is it Paul Heyman?
Huh? No, that's a wrestler.
Oh.
He coached...
Is it not John
Morocco.
Cena?
John Cena, the wrestler.
This is not WrestleMania.
Okay.
And he didn't coach one team in Africa. I think he coached two teams.
Mm.
Can we look?
If Marco looks... former Chelsea manager... who coached two teams
on the African continent.
In Africa.
And at that time, Chelsea has had like 10 million coaches, like they do players now.
Was he in the Roman Abramovich era?
Yes.
Is he Italian?
I'm not going to give you his nationality.
He's not Italian, Marco. Definitely not Italian. I think he's from Scandinavia.
Nope.
Is he the Jewish one? The Israeli one?
Yeah, I think you.
I'm not gonna say anything.
You are hot, Marco.
Yeah, you are hot.
You are hot.
I'm trying to remember his name. He was quite successful with Chelsea. They had to change all of their early Saturday fixtures or their Friday evening fixtures for him while he was Chelsea manager, so that he could.
Paul Heyman.
It is Paul Heyman, guys. No, it's John Cena.
No,
I told
Avram
you.
No, it's Avram Grant.
It's John Cena.
Avram Grant.
But you didn't get that right.
No.
Yes. So it's still 3-0 to Marco. You don't have points. Super Sub, the last one. Let's see.
Oh, there's another
one. There's a last one?
There's the last one, yes. Take it home. Take it home, Super Sub.
If it's easy.
He played for Monaco. He's from South America.
Radamel Falcao.
Yeah, boy, that's the one.
3 points to Marco. Yes, it is Radamel Falcao who subsequently went to
but
Manchester
Marco
United.
But Marco
didn't
say Betway.
Oh, so yes. I get no points.
Actually, you didn't say Betway for both answers.
At any of them.
Yes.
So no points.
No, the first one you said Betway.
Did he say Betway?
Yes, he did say Betway
okay,
for
so
the first one.
I don't remember.
So you win 3-0.
I was
one
there,
doesn't
trust
count.
Me.
So yes, the pictures for today was Radamel Falcao. Former Monaco, he's Colombian.
Chelsea, Manchester
Chelsea
United.
And Manchester United. Before that was Avram Grant, former Chelsea manager. He managed one of the African teams as well. Before that was...
Pevel.
Roger Fitumba, former Mamelodi Sundowns midfielder. He was also known as the General. Before that, it was Gennaro Gattuso, former AC Milan midfielder, also Italian national team player. And the first one was Pavel Nedved, who used to play for Juventus.
Okay, that was exciting.
Okay. Thank you so much, Len Moleko. That was Len Moleko's penalty shootout brought to you by Betway. Get way
no, but you
more.
Know,
and you know
guys,
who...
But sometimes penalties are easy. These ones.
So, not these ones.
So who won?
It's Marco, and then that means next week we're going to have Marco giving out the clues to Super Sub as well as Tepi worldwide.
Guys, you're wrong. Marco didn't win. Football always wins. Welcome to Onside ZA Ballers. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Thank you, Len Moleko.
Always a pleasure, man. Yeah. And big ups to the ballers as well. We love you long time.
Thank you, Tepi, darling.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. Shout out to Umpoza once again.
Big shout out. Thank you, Super Sub. And thank you to all of you ballers for joining us as always. Remember to stay onside. Don't be offside. Be onside with us and Betway, where you get way more.
Booyah. Danko.